Nottingham Forest break their transfer record to sign Dan Ndoye.
All-round attacking player, can play across that forward line. Good signing for Forest.
Are West Ham United set for another season of struggle and strife?
Most fans realise there's a rebuild job needed here before we can try and push for Europe again. And I think most fans are okay with Graham Potter architecting that.
And who's this bonny young Frenchman, Milan at Inter?
He's 6'2", fast, rangy and really smart with his movement and body positioning.
Hello, I'm Matt Davis-Adams and welcome to Route 1. Ian McIntosh is at the Test match today, so you've got me instead. But the show remains the same. It's football, fast, no faff. It's out every day, Monday to Friday, at about 4pm UK time. And it will get you up to date with the biggest news from around the game. Plus, we'll bring you the interesting stories beyond the usual 6 or 7 Premier League clubs. We'll serve up news from the other big leagues in Europe, Spain, Germany, Italy and France. But let's crack on. Let's go. Route 1. Right then, I'm in the driving seat today, so all other news will have to wait, because Nottingham Forest have broken their transfer record to sign Swiss international Dan Ndoye. £34 million was enough to convince Bologna to part with a key component of their recent renaissance, which of course included a return to the Champions League and a Coppa Italia to boot. Now, you can accuse Reds owner Evangelos Marinakis of many, many things. And if you followed the Morgan Gibbs-White saga on X, you'll have seen that many, many people did. But you can't accuse him of sitting on his laurels at the City Ground. Forest have broken their transfer record for the fourth consecutive season and quickly filled the Anthony Elanga-shaped hole with a genuinely exciting, shiny new winger. Here to explain what Forest fans can expect from Ndoye is a man who's watched him closely for the last couple of years, The Athletic's resident Serie A expert James Horncastle.
So you'll have seen Dan Ndoye posing like a lion for his Nottingham Forest photo opportunity after signing for them. That's because he identifies as a lion. He's Swiss, but he's got Senegalese origin. He thinks he's the king of the jungle. I mean, are lions kings of the jungle or are they kings of the savannah? I don't know. Anyway, I digress. Bologna signed him from Basel. They went specifically to scout him. They also saw Riccardo Calafiori. They bought them both. Calafiori's obviously been in the Premier League a little bit longer than Ndoye has. They both shone at the Euros last year. You might remember Ndoye scoring for Switzerland against Germany. They were 1-0 up until the 92nd minute and then the Füllkrug equalised for the Germans. He had a really good European Championships with that Switzerland side. He then came back with Bologna. He scored the only goal in the Coppa Italia final against AC Milan, and Bologna won their first trophy in 51 years.
Fabian, al limite, passa il pallone per Orsolini, poi Ndoye in area. Ndoye, una finta, Ndoye! Il Bologna è davanti con Dan Ndoye, 1-0.
So there you go, Dan Ndoye. All-round attacking player, can play across that forward line. Good signing for Forest.
Taking a lion very much out of its natural habitat to live in a forest feels risky to me, but let's see. Thanks, James. If you'd like to read all of Mr. Horncastle's articles and plenty more besides, head over to theathletic.com. Now, in recent weeks, there have only been two types of news for Sheffield Wednesday fans. Plain awful and downright terrible. Oh, sorry, soul-destroyingly dreadful too. We can't forget that one. But in a break from the deluge of misery Depon Chansiri has thrust upon the club, the Owls have appointed Henrik Pedersen as Danny Roll's successor. Pedersen had been Roll's assistant since 2023, and after signing a 3-year deal, he invoked a bit of Scandinavian spirit to rally supporters. He said, "Is this going to be easy? No. We are maybe in rough waters at the moment, but as a proud Dane, I can tell you that like our Viking ancestors, stormy seas don't bother us too much. You have to get used to it, to weather the storm, to get to calmer waters." Nicely put, Henrik, and good luck. My God, you're going to need it. Procrastination enthusiasts will be delighted to learn that some Premier League club executives believe the can that is Manchester City's financial case with the Premier League is likely to be firmly booted down the road all the way to October. Officials pinpointed that month's international break as a plausible window, a splendid fortnight to bury bad news, if one was needed for any reason. 2.5 years since the charges were announced, and 7 months on from the hearing for said charges concluding, Premier League CEO Richard Masters appeared at the Premier League Summer Series doubleheader, perhaps specifically to agitate frustrated Everton supporters, and said, "I really can't give any information out on timing or anything like that. There's nothing more I can add. Sorry about that." Well, thanks for that, Dickie. Apology not accepted. In expected but nonetheless flabbergasting news, Victor Osimhen joined Galatasaray for €75 million, smashing the Turkish Super League transfer record by a cool €55.5 million. Quite how Gala can afford this is anyone's guess. Stubborn Napoli overlord Aurelio De Laurentiis has been kind enough to allow Gala to pay in instalments, €40 million now, €35 million later, but with the full amount due by summer 2026. So this is a serious undertaking from the Turkish champions. I suppose if you're going to bet the house, you may as well lump it on a bona fide superstar who scored 37 goals in 41 games last season. With Galatasaray also signing Leroy Sané this summer, Jose Mourinho really has his work cut out if he wants to wrestle the title out of his Istanbul rival's hands. Knowing Jose, I'm sure he'll take to that task with nothing but good grace. Now then, on Monday, Ian McIntosh kicked off the Stick With Me But feature of outlandish predictions by boldly stating that West Ham United would be relegated this year. He told me that he expected some pushback. He thought he might feel the wrath of some of their supporters, but there was no dissent whatsoever, only agreement. So, are West Ham in trouble? They certainly don't look in good shape, though it must be said there's still a month of the transfer window left. But there was no new manager bounce from Graham Potter. There have been no transformative signings. They've lost a lot of experience over the summer, and they didn't exactly pull up any trees last season. Benji Laniardo is a lifelong hammer and a regular on the Totally Football Show. Benji, what's the mood like over there?
I mean, things don't look fantastic, but I actually feel, for now anyway, the mood among the fans is probably more apathy than anger still. I feel personally that we're still in this kind of post-Conference League honeymoon period where, you know, you can tolerate rubbishness for a fair few seasons because you've actually won something. And I wonder if, you know, Palace fans might feel the same over the next few years, or if Leicester fans sort of feel that way a bit now too. And you can sense that apathy and the lack of anger over selling Kudus to Spurs. Now, the fans obviously would rather it hadn't been Spurs, but no one's that bothered that he's gone because he was so inconsistent. The issue is that does mean that, you know, West Ham are very much sort of Jared Bowen plus 10 players now. But that could be enough for us to finish mid-table, which would be fine. I think most fans realise there's a rebuild job needed here before we can try and push for Europe again. And I think most fans are okay with Graham Potter architecting that. The other thing that will help this season, you know, in terms of ensuring that the apathy doesn't sort of turn into something more bilious, I guess, is that we've got some youngsters coming through. There's a real crop at the moment. Ollie Skiles and Lewis Orford broke through last year. Freddie Potts has been working his way through the leagues and loan moves, and he'll get a chance this year. George Earthy had a great season at Bristol City. Callum Marshall was Huddersfield's player of the season. So, you know, if we finish 16th but blood a load of youngsters, I think West Ham fans will be all right with that. But, you know, if things are looking stinky by sort of November time and we're not seeing any of these youngsters, and, you know, or Jared Bowen gets injured, yeah, I can see the mood souring pretty quickly.
Benji Laniardo is the CEO of the world's most popular photography website builder, Pickfair, who currently have their summer sale on with 60% off all subscriptions. So get all over that. Time now for a bit of transfer analysis as we seek to unpack a signing that may have passed by in your periphery. We have France under-21 striker Anne-Joan Bonny, who recently joined Inter Milan for £20 million plus add-ons. Despite being only 21, Bonny has had four full seasons at Parma, three in Serie B and last year's Serie A survival. But in that time, he scored just 12 goals in 115 games. And yet, Christian Kivu, who himself moved from Parma to Inter this summer, was determined to take Bonny with him. What's Kivu spotted? Step forward Alex Stewart, chief executive of football data consultancy firm Analytics FC, to explain.
What Kivu has spotted is a trend in striker profiles that prioritises big, fast players who can pin defences and create room for others. And Anne-Joan Bonny fits that mould. In Serie B, although Bonny scored a modest 5 goals, the players who flanked him, Dennis Mann and Adrian Benedicak, netted 21 between them. Bonny's movement, hold-up play and general physicality pushed and pulled defences around, defences that were dropping deep already against Parma because of their superior in-possession qualities. Upon moving to Serie A last season, Bonny showed a league-average quality for pretty much everything. nudging up to the 60th percentile for short pass quality and quality of passes received, and also showing great link-up play through his one-touch passing in the final third. But the modern striker is doing less of that stuff these days anyway, and is tasked more with offering an outlet in transition and creating space for the next attacking line, what the guys at Scouted Football have referred to as the new power forward meta. Bonny fits that profile. He's 6'2", fast, rangy, and really smart with his movement and body positioning. Out of possession matters too. As much as hybrid pressing has contributed to the popularity of the new striker profile, these players themselves also need to do that work, and Bonny really does. He was in the top 15% last season for counter-pressing recovery quality, and the top 25% for high regain quality among Serie A strikers. Bonny has played a lot of football for his age, with around 4,500 minutes in the last two seasons, while his goals per 90 and XG per 90 output have trended up over the last three seasons. Chiva will know that Marcus Thuram needs an understudy, so who better than a player who fits the modern striker profile, who Chiva knows and trusts, and who has shown he can improve even when stepping up a level? This signing makes sense.
And you can find more about Analytics FC by visiting analyticsfc.co.uk. That was Route 1. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Matt Davis-Adams. Ian will be back tomorrow. Your producer today was Jesse Howard. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. My dog Brian was in my office looking wistfully at me as if to say, can we go for a walk now? Come on then, Brian. Ian's back tomorrow. For now though, it's goodbye.